The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Are you interested in the world of interior design? Welcome to Matters of Design with your host, Dimitri Christian Skourakis. Our program will bring the creative forces in front and behind the scenes of interior design to inspire you to use your ideas, have more fun with them, and be amazed by the end result. Now, here is Dimitri Skourakis.
Good afternoon and welcome to Matters of Design. I'm your host, Dimitri Skourakis. Thanks for joining us today. So each week you hear me talk to my fellow designers about what inspires their creativity. You know, you hear us talk about color and texture and nature and fabrics and silhouettes from fashion. But at the end of the day, you know, designers are people designing for other people and their world and their lifestyle, and it's a personal sanctuary. So the concept of travel is one that we hear about more and more and more as being so important to inspire designers and bring people and their cultures together. You know, the exposure to the crafts and the art and the style, which brings us to our next guest and author of The Well-Traveled Home, Sandra Espinay. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Dimitri. Thank you for having me on your show. What an honor.
Welcome to the show. Good. Thank you so much for being here today. First off, I've got to start because I know that you're based in Cabo and your offices are down there. How are things now after the storm? Are you in your practice down there A-okay?
Well, thank you for asking. That's a very good question because we just got hit by a very big Category 5 hurricane called Odile. And it's a Katrina type of situation and most of the town has been hit. A little miracle. My entire office is standing, no water damage, absolutely nothing. And my employees started using the office as an emergency area, and it is now up and running. So it's 3 weeks after the hurricane, and we are still working. So we will have quite a bit of work this year restoring and repairing homes. And but, you know, you move forward with these disasters. So in the meantime, I'm working out of my L.A. office.
Well, thank goodness everybody is okay down there. And as if you're not busy enough, you've got even more work to do. And you've got this book that just came out this year. Tell us about your business and your new book.
Yes, well, my business, SE Design Services, we do luxury design for residential primarily. And we work with amazing clients and we do their homes. Typically, we start with their homes in Cabo. And what happens is once they meet us and they enjoy working with us, we get invited to do their homes elsewhere. So we've done projects from the Bahamas, Hawaii, Canada, all throughout the U.S. It just kind of mushrooms into other projects. And the book came about, The Well-Traveled Home, because I do travel a lot for personal reasons as well as for shopping purposes. I'm always looking for new manufacturers, new products, and to try and understand the point of view of my clients. They all travel, and I need to know their lifestyles if I'm going to design for them. And that's how the book started.
I've been familiar with your work for many years, and you know, there's something about the attitude in your design style that just says happy and enjoyment. This is obviously something you enjoy. How did you get started in this business?
Well, to answer your question, yes, it's called a barefoot frame of mind, and I'm not the only one who uses that term. It's about casual. Flip-flops is elegant, you know? I mean, I've been known to show up to parties in a long dress without shoes, and it's okay, and it's wonderful. And we design in that way, too, because, you know, the ultimate luxury at the end of the day is not to wear a coat and tie to the office, but be the owner of a company and being able to show up in shorts as you leave early because your company's so strong that you can, you know, make a call and work from the beach. So a lot of our clients live that lifestyle, and we design that way. We want fabulous, elegant, but casual. Nothing that you would feel uncomfortable putting your feet up on. Nothing that you wouldn't let your dog enjoy. yet at the same time, it's elegant and it's the best life has to offer.
This sounds like a real sort of a West Coast attitude, easy breezy, beachy, and barefoot. But you mix a lot of other styles in as well. And I think, you know, that's what the well-traveled home is representing.
Yes. So in the well-traveled home, you will see photos of projects that are described what I just described, the luxury, the casual, but you'll find pieces from all over the world. So, for example, when I went shopping in India, I bought textiles. When I was in Thailand, I bought carved panels. Everywhere I go, I find unique pieces that we can mix into this. So why, would you ask, is that important in casual living? All of my clients have traveled. They have international companies. They travel for personal reasons. So these pieces that I'm bringing back are things that they might have seen but never wanted to ship back, didn't know how to ship back, but that mean something to them. So they might have been in Thailand, and I know this because I talked to them before I designed a home, so I have a little bit of juice on who they are, where they've been. And if somebody likes, oh, I'm making up a country, Japan, we might buy antique obis and make runners or do pillows out of them just to bring a touch of something they have seen into their home that makes it really personal and unique.
So I understand the idea of infusing what's exotic in with this casual vibe, and I think that's a wonderful combination. In addition to that sort of styling, is there a time period that you identify with as well?
You know, I don't like to lock myself into anything, be it time, be it color, be it style. Design changes just like anything. Your closet rotates. You don't keep the same clothes. You don't keep the same furniture. Of course, the interior design industry does not move as fast as the fashion industry. I go to Fashion Week once or twice a year, and, you know, that's an industry that moves at lightning speed. I would say every 5 or 6 years, the interior design industry has a new look and a new feel. So I don't think you can, as a designer, lock yourself into a box, because then you wouldn't be growing and you wouldn't be continually learning. And our industry, every single day you learn something.
Your style has received a lot of acclaim, especially, I think, in California and down through Cabo and into South America. You've been on the covers of AD in these magazines. Tell us a little bit about your success in the field and some of these clients and projects that brought you there.
Oh, well, thank you, first of all, for noticing. But yes, we do get a lot of great publicity, and I love being able to showcase our work in magazines. But covers really make my office jump up and down. I have 16 girls in the office, so when we get a cover, everybody goes wild. And, of course, Architectural Digest, which is kind of like the creme de la creme in design magazines, is one that we've been very proud to have participated in. We've been in AD 5 times, 2 covers, and it's, you know, it's just such an honor to be in such a great group of designers, and that this magazine would even notice our work. So it's just wonderful to know that we're on the right track and that we're designing in an aesthetically pleasing way that other people like and want to look at our work.
Well, congratulations. I mean, that's always a fantastic achievement. But how did you get started in this field?
Well, I studied interior design, and I'm not going to tell you how long it is, because then you're going to know my age, but it was many, many moons ago. I studied design. And I came out of design school, and I started working in hospitality. So I worked for very large firms, and I learned so much as a young designer, because these are high-paced companies, international, where you're on a plane, you work late hours, you work weekends, there's presentations. And working in the hospitality industry, I learned all about stress and time frame and organization and all the things you really need to be a really good designer. And I highly recommend to young designers to start in that industry. I then kind of transitioned into luxury residential by accident. And my first client was at a very young age, and that's how I started my first company. And I tended to gravitate towards that because I like the people reaction. You know, being able to meet with homeowners is so much more fun than meeting with corporate executives. And that's the reason I kind of moved into this arena.
It's such a, yeah, it's a totally different field. I mean, residential is such a, you know, it's a personal connection and such a private endeavor. Let's play a little game. Let's basically, I'll start with sort of a sentence and you can finish it. And it's the concept of basically your creative process. Let's say when you begin with a new client, you always do what first?
Have a drink with them and see what they're all about. And I'm dead serious.
It's a good place to start, isn't it? That sounds
like
they're...
Oh, yeah, you have to know your client. I mean, that's the key to the successful design. It's not my personal money that I'm spending, and I have to make no mistakes. And the only way you can really know someone is let them have a drink, you have a drink, and see what comes out. Where have they been? What do they like? What do they don't like? And just, you know, absorb it all before you even get to the drawing board.
I agree. Is there an order that you follow when you start to design a place?
No, I think design is very organic, and we have started homes with shopping for antique rugs and then designed around them. We have started homes by buying incredibly unique art and designing entire homes around that. We had a client where we bought a Diego Rivera piece, which is extremely rare, and we designed around that. We have also started, we had a client that brought us a photo, and we started around that. So you really have to be open-minded to what the client has. And sometimes we start with budget. You know, some husbands may say, Sandy, we start with this, and this is the number we want to stick with. Design around that. So you have to be open-minded.
What do you think every home should have?
Every home should have a space for a dog. I love dogs, and I love people who have dogs. And you know what? There's nothing more fun. I'm doing a house right now. As a matter of fact, we're doing a doggy spa. And so we're designing an area where you can bathe the dogs, a separate table to blow dry them, and it's an entire room just for the dogs. I love it.
That sounds like fun. How about three essentials? So you're such a lifestyle designer. I love that about you. So hit us with three essentials for entertaining.
Oh, wow. Three essentials for entertaining. A chef, because nobody wants to cook when they're having their own party, right? A phenomenal kitchen, and you must have a pantry. Pantries are like a must-must. You don't want to have all these dishes and all these beautiful things up in your kitchen cabinet. So I think, you know, that old Southern style of having a specific room where you can lay things out is so beautiful. And a lot of people forget about that when they design kitchens today.
What would your personal dream house look like?
Wow, that's a tough question because, you know, I move a lot. I've moved to 9 different countries. I have been all over the place. And my dream home is really wherever my husband and my dogs are. So I am an easy creature. I really am.
And very adaptable.
I am. You know, I live on airplanes. I like to say that my second home is actually a seat in first on, you know, British Airways. I'm on a plane all the time, and if I have a great hotel, you know, I'm comfortable anywhere. I can make myself adapt easily, yes.
I love that. We're going to talk more about your travels, but we need to stop here for a moment and take a short break. I'm Dimitri Skorakis here with Sandra Espinay. You're listening to Matters of Design. We'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Creative Director Dimitri Christian Skorakis of Dimitri Christian Design Hollywood offers complete interior design services for individuals and companies seeking to create or enhance beauty in their home and work environments. Known for his modern approach to an eclectic interior, Dimitri's global services range from a single specialized project to complete renovations. Dimitri believes a room he designs should not only reflect you, his client, but also evolve as you evolve. His respect for timeless tradition, quality, and attention to detail is ever present in his work. And he has an unparalleled reputation for working within your budget to achieve a unique and personalized look. Dimitri also invites you to treat yourself to a bed you'll never want to leave with the Dimitri Christian Luxury Bed Linen Collection. Be sure to like us on Facebook to receive special sales and promotions. For more information, visit DimitriChristian.com. That's DemitriChristian.com.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Matters of Design. To reach Dimitri Skourakis or his guest today, send an email to info@dimitrichristian.com. Now back to Matters of Design.
Hi, welcome back to Matters of Design. I'm Dimitri Skourakis here with Sandra Espinay, and we're talking about the well-traveled home. Hi, Sandra, welcome back.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm here.
We were just talking about your jet set lifestyle and R&R on the big planes and your travels. Where have you been and what are your favorite places and why? What inspires you about these places?
Oh my gosh, where have I not been? I've been almost everywhere except Antarctica and Alaska. I've covered a lot of places in the world and I love international shopping. I adore Bhutan. I had an incredible experience in Bhutan shopping for handmade textiles, which is one of the things the country is known for, and trekking through the mountains in the Himalayas, and just the whole culture and everything about Bhutan was so beautiful to me. It's a very small kingdom, and it's stuck between China, Nepal, and India, and yet it's very clean. And it's run just like a well-oiled machine. It's nothing like the three surrounding countries. Hard to get to, but worth it if you can.
So these hikes, you're out there and you're connecting with nature and you're, you know, breathing all of that fresh air. And then you're shopping for these textiles. Tell us about these textiles. And are you bringing them back with you or are you just sort of making connections or are you just inspired by them?
All of the above. Sometimes I bring things back. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I have to ship them. Bhutan was beautiful because we went hiking to a monastery. It took about 4 hours to hike up the mountain. There's no roads. You have to go trek up. And we went to meet the monks, and that day they were doing a bug ceremony. So they prayed all day long for all of the insects and creatures in the world. And so we stayed for about 2 hours with them throughout the ceremony and then hiked back down. And after an experience like that, you just love the people. I mean, it's just so unusual. We don't have bug ceremonies, you know, so it's such a wonderful experience. And I love eco travel where you spend some money and you help people in that area and you bring something back. So I asked my driver to then start taking us to some of the manufacturing facilities, and everything was done by hand. So once I started meeting different vendors, I found the best, the ones that make the best textiles using traditional designs, traditional colors, and the best materials that they weave with, so the high-quality ones. And I bought so many of them, and I brought them back, and I made pillows and throws, and I had so much fun that year with my Bhutan textiles.
No doubt. Do they end up in your home, or are they placed in your clients?
You know, funny question. My home is what we call the design lab. So my home is constantly in motion. Anytime I have a new junior designer, they do work in my home before they go into a client's home. They need to learn how to, you know, maneuver in a proper home before I let them into anybody else's. So I have gone through so many dining room tables. My husband comes home and he's like, "Where's the bed?" "Well, I have a new one. Just live with it," you know. And we did have textiles. We're on to different things. And my home never remains the same.
Isn't that fun? I mean, I agree. But, you know, sometimes things get lost in translation. I can remember trips to Africa that I took on safari and taking the blue train down to Cape Town and buying art and interesting things that I love when I'm immersed in the culture. And then bringing it back, it still has the same beauty and relevance that it did while I bought it, but it really takes a particular skill to then be able to plug that into a design project and have it work out. How do you manage that?
Well, that's an amazing question because it's very, very true. And it's the problem most clients have. They travel and they buy stuff, you know, and it sometimes ends up being tchotchke market stuff that looks great there. And then they get home and they're like, why did I bring this? So it does take a lot of experience, which I've been doing my whole life. This is not something new that I just woke up and decided to do. And to understand what is important in a culture. So you have to bring back things that are meaningful, that you truly cannot find anywhere else, that are handmade, that are artisan. There's a lot of prerequisites for me choosing and purchasing something abroad.
You know, in addition to your travels abroad, you're also here in the epicenter of design in Beverly Hills and at the PDC here in West Hollywood. So you see a lot. What have you seen lately that also really has influenced you? What have you seen that you really love lately?
You know, one of the big movements in my design that we feel is a trend that is about to hit is street art. So there are so many amazing street artists in L.A., and this is a new movement because really London and New York have really traditionally been the only street artists where you had Banksy and these guys coming out. But L.A. now has a crop of amazing artists such as Retina or, you know, Jeffrey Seitz. Or, there are all these amazing artists, and they are starting to create rugs, and they're designing, you know, little pieces here and here for our industry. So it's not just their art, but the items that they're creating. And I love this movement. So every time I have time in L.A., I go shopping at downtown. You know, there's a lot of visuals. So, yeah, street art is big for me right now.
I agree. And it's funny how it sort of like comes and goes. Look at Murakami for Louis Vuitton several years ago and
yes.
That sort of like graphic work across
yes.
their logo bags. And I mean, I can remember back in New York where I was going through sort of like a, you know, younger punk rebellious stage. And I actually hired a street artist from Brooklyn who was what they called a wild style artist, who used to, you know, basically paint on subway cars, to come into my brownstone and paint on my window treatments in wild style spray paint.
Oh,
it was very
God.
Different than very different than the look that I have now, but it was, you know, very exciting. And when combined with, you know, finer things and elegant pieces, it really makes for a great big picture. I've also noticed down in Venice, I purchased a great piece of street art for a fashion stylist client in LA. And I think you've got your finger on the pulse, because that really is something. And just like, you know, in fashion where it comes from the street, I think interior design, you know, people also look to, you know, alternative places.
This is new because previously it was not like that. And this is what I'm seeing is now coming out as, you know, unique, one of a kind, handmade from the street. It's very interesting. As a matter of fact, I wrote a blog about this the other day. You know, there's this also trend, and, you know, you have these expensive Birkin bags. You deface your Birkin bag. And I took mine to, I had a lunch with a bunch of my client friends, and we were all talking about this. You know, what do you think about defacing your Birkin bag? And it was a 50-50. Some girls were like, oh my God, fabulous. Others were like, what? Are you crazy? Classic. You can't ruin your bag. I took mine to Jeffrey Seif, and he is drawing on my Birkin. So in a couple weeks, I will have it back. And that's part of the street movement, and I love it. I love the mixture of classic and street.
I do too. What do you think the difference between a trend and a fad is?
I think a trend is something that happens organically, and I think a fad is something that a bunch of retail stores will pull out, the, you know, maybe a season because they think it'll sell well. And so this movement that I'm talking about, street art, is happening little by little, and it's nobody's talking about it. It's just a bunch of guys coming up with things they think are cool, and we're absorbing it little by little. And it's kind of like when you go into Ralph Pucci and you see just unique pieces, and you're like, where'd this come from? You know, artist random in New York created it. That's you know, beautiful. But when you have a retail store just dictating, oh, purple is the new color, that's when it's a fad. And it's going to go away because they're going to have to come up with something next season.
What design trends do you think are overrated?
overrated. The bright colors, I just don't like it. I don't find that it's timely, so the bright colors don't work for me. I know that it was like a, I guess you want to call it a trend, the bright fuchsia, the bright green, the bright blue, and the yellow all mixed in with white, and that doesn't, you know, I'm over that.
On the topic
of
really looking bright, you've been on TV quite a bit lately. Tell us about some of the work you're doing on HGTV.
Yeah, I love working on HGTV. I've done a lot of shows. I don't have my own show yet, hint, hint, HGTV, but I do a lot of segments for them, including all of the Christmas specials that I've done with Brooke Burke, Eva LaRue, Ali Sweeney from The Bigger Loser, Holly Robbins and Pete. So it's really, really fun, and it's a great way to be able to explain design to a viewer which doesn't necessarily know a lot about our industry.
What makes you happiest about what you do in this work and on TV and in these shows?
Finishing the project and the installation. So even when I'm doing it on TV, when you have a finished product and you get to turn it in and you see your design finally, that's a great moment. I mean, those are always amazing days.
Are you doing something with Martha Stewart as well? Did I hear that?
Yes, I do Sirius Radio for Martha Stewart. When I go to New York, I typically go into their studio, and I have worked with Mario Vasquez there and doing interviews, and that's also a great experience. The Sirius Radio station is beautiful. It's really fun.
I want to just mention to our listeners right now, when you have a chance, please go visit Sandra at her website. It's www.sandraespinay.com. And have a look at the world of Sandra Espinay and check out the preface to The Well-Traveled Home. It's really a beautiful world that you create. I like your design style so much because it's so inviting. It's so friendly. And it really, I think it reflects both your personality and obviously the people that you're designing for, Sandra.
Oh, thank you very much, Dimitri. Coming from you, because you've been in the world of design for so long, also that means so much. Thank you. And watch out also, VH1 in December. I'll be doing a Christmas special, so you'll be able to see me on VH1 also.
Terrific. We need to stop here for a moment and take a short break. I'm Dimitri Skrakis here with Sandra Espinay. Sandra, thank you.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Matters of Design, and we'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Creative Director Dimitri Christian Skourakis of Dimitri Christian Design Hollywood offers complete interior design services for individuals and companies seeking to create or enhance beauty in their home and work environments. Known for his modern approach to an eclectic interior, Dimitri's global services range from a single specialized project to complete renovations. Dimitri believes a room he designs should not only reflect you, his client, but also evolve as you evolve. His respect for timeless tradition, quality, and attention to detail is ever present in his work. And he has an unparalleled reputation for working within your budget to achieve a unique and personalized look. Dimitri also invites you to treat yourself to a bed you'll never want to leave with the Dimitri Christian Luxury Bed Linen Collection. Be sure to like us on Facebook to receive special sales and promotions. For more information, visit DimitriChristian.com. That's DemitriChristian.com.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Matters of Design. To reach Dimitri Skourakis or his guest today, send an email to info@dimitrichristian.com. Now back to Matters of Design.
Hi, welcome back to Matters of Design. I'm Dimitri Skorakis, and we're talking about the well-traveled home and color. You know, from the time we're born, it seems like we're attracted to color and light. We reach out to it and identify our favorites, like our first box of Crayola. You know, we love them. I mean, they're so gorgeous, some of them. You want to eat them. And nothing has changed. You know, the business of coloring our world is as important to us now than ever, and as important as our favorite chair or piece of furniture. Our next guest, Christine Haney, who represents one of the world's finest colorists and craftsmen of paint and paper from Farrow and Ball. Christine Haney, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dimitri. Thank you so much for the lovely introduction.
You know, I've been a big fan of your paints and your product for years. I live with your paints in my own home. My entire house is painted in your paint and respect it. Your colors are just absolutely completely unique from what so much of what you see out there. But tell us more about your company and your history. Tell us about what makes you different.
Sure. You know, really, you know, what your introduction and about how color is so important to us right from the beginning of our lives sort of really makes me think of the heritage of our company, which goes back to 1946 in Dorset, England, where John Farrow and Richard Ball founded the company. They were an engineer and a chemist and started making paint. And we're still in Dorset today, which is very special. So that's one thing that's unique about us. All of our paint and wallpaper is made in Dorset. So there's no mixing it or making it anywhere else. It's tinned and shipped to over 67 countries worldwide. And that includes 12 dedicated Farrow and Ball showrooms in North America. In terms of color, you know, we really are known for our unique colors and our depth of color, and that comes from the way we make our paint. We use the finest ingredients, and we're in control of the production of that from start to finish, from sourcing those ingredients and raw materials right until the end when we're testing every batch. So that's part of what, you know, these very high quality pigments that give it that depth of color that's really unrivaled and timeless. And then, you know, you mentioned our wallpapers, and our artisanal wallpapers are created using Farrow and Ball paints, and they're printed in the traditional method onto ground papers that have a uniquely textured appearance. And you can experience that too, you know, if you're actually have the opportunity to go to one of our showrooms and feel the paper, which is really incredible. And in terms of the palette, we're looking always at keeping a palette that's edited down to 132 colors.
Which is remarkable to me. I mean, that's really remarkable because I can go to your palette of 134 colors, which I know may sound like a lot of colors, but in the world of paint swatches, and I'm sure many of our listeners know, you see those books and they've got, I don't know how many in them, hundreds and hundreds of colors, and you look at them and you just think, oh my gosh, you know, there's so many that are possibilities, and then there are so many that are just completely wrong. And the way that you do that editing and you tighten that up to that selection, and that there's so much that can be done with that limited selection, is really extraordinary.
Thank you. Yeah, we really are proud of having this curated collection. You know, we do think that our creative team is choosing what's relevant, fashion forward, and classic all at the same time. And you know, that's what we're trying to achieve, hoping that our designers, our consumers will see what they need right in front of them. That said, when we do introduce new colors, we archive the old ones so we can still make them in a day or two for you. They haven't disappeared completely, but we're trying to give what's most current and relevant at the time. And of course, they're all zero VOCs, which are impeccable environmental credentials that we're really happy about. and good
this
for the
is something
environment.
More and more people are becoming aware of these days, obviously,
yeah.
with, you know, everyone going green and on that, you know, on that path that mm-hmm. it's very important because we, you know, we used to just think it smelled like fresh paint. And now we realize we were just sort of inhaling all of this
yeah.
really bad stuff.
Yeah, the colors looked better when you were inhaling.
You something that I love about your paints. And the interesting thing is a lot of times, you know, we look to paint to, you know, and I'm really big on color and painting people's environments. And so many people get really nervous, you know, if it's anything other than this, you know, four shades of off-white, people start to get nervous.
And that's right.
And rightfully so, because when you look at general paint selection, sometimes you see all these intense colors. And what happens is those colors can often sort of completely upstage an environment, depending on the hue, just, you know, really almost take over the room, and mm-hmm. they don't really serve as a backdrop. And then to get into something that does serve as a backdrop, they can look weak. What I love about your colors is even when you get into some of the, you know, the either the very dark colors or colors that are colors and not just darker neutrals, they seem to be kind of muted in a way that when you put them up in the environment, they have an amazing presence, but they don't take over. How do you accomplish that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and it's something that we refer to as the Farrow and Ball look. It's sort of a three-dimensionality that almost seems as though you could, you know, pass your hand through the wall. And I think that what's really special about it is we are twice as exacting as the industry standard in terms of our quality and quality control. And it's really, it goes back to the raw materials we're using, that they are the finest, that we're sourcing them ourselves, we're in control of them, we know what's going into it. You know, there was a point in time when paints were all oil-based, and as companies started to add plastics and acrylics and all of these things to it, we continue to, although we are zero VOCs, you know, we're not using fillers, and it's real paint. It's paint. You're not, it's not just a lot of plastic and junk that you don't need, and I think that that has partly to do with it. The paint has that quality, and sort of it's like living with color as opposed to your painted wall and sticking out in the environment that you as a designer are creating. I find that a lot of our customers and clients don't think of paint afterwards. It's not an afterthought. It's part of the design process and part of the ideas from conception for a room or a home. So does that answer your question a little
bit?
It does.
Do you think that's why, you know, I don't know who your biggest user is. Is it mostly designers that are coming to your shops or, you know, or consumers? Because I know as a designer, I start thinking with color, you know, first. You know, it's
sure.
textiles, it's color. You know, I'm approaching a project with, you know, a feeling and a mood that I want to, you know, help my client achieve. And so it all goes very much hand in hand, and the, you know, the tone and the feel and the, and, you know, the shell of that environment is where I start.
Is where, yeah, sure. You know, our culture, we have both retail and designer locations and business, which is wonderful, and contractors. So we have all three channels. And in terms of, you know, designers, we are a designer-driven culture. You know, we get our ideas and inspiration from our designers and from our magazines. And so the designers are very important to us. And so what you're saying, as that's part of your process, I think that the Farrow and Ball designer client is definitely starting with our medium color book or our large color book and sample pots and brush out boards as part of the initial meeting with their client. And that you can achieve, like what you were saying, the shell of what the environment's going to be with a color, it really sort of moves it beyond the color and maybe defines what the essence of the room wants to feel like at the end. You're sort of looking at the last page of the book at the beginning when you do that, you know, it's the reveal.
I agree. And I have, I think I must have 134 of your sample pots as well, because they are, first off, I mean, they're just really cute. I mean, I don't know the size of them, but they're so small and they're just the perfect amount for when you've got a project and you need that absolutely right shade. I'll go get, you know, three or four or five, you know, usually I can narrow it down to about three that I think are really close and in the running. And gosh, does that make it all a whole lot easier as well?
That's great. Yeah, I love the sample pot. The sample pot, as you said, it does cover just the perfect size area for you to get an idea of what a color is like in morning light, afternoon light, evening light, artificial light.
In one area or another.
Yeah, and you know, you're in California and I'm in New York, and that color, if we're looking at Citron, say, or Middleton Pink, is going to look different, you know, down in the Flatiron area in New York as it would in Beverly Hills. It's just the way it is. And so it's very behavioral in that. Yeah. So the sample pots are great. There's no better way than to see the real paint on the wall.
Except for maybe if one of your designers comes out to the home, and I know that you all do that too. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but we need to stop here for a moment and take a short break. I'm Dimitri Skarakis here with Christine Haney. You're listening to Matters of Design, and we'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Creative Director Dimitri Christian Skarakis of Dimitri Christian Design Hollywood offers complete interior design services for individuals and companies seeking to create or enhance beauty in their home and work environments. Known for his modern approach to an eclectic interior, Dimitri's global services range from a single specialized project to complete renovations. Dimitri believes a room he designs should not only reflect you, his client, but also evolve as you evolve. His respect for timeless tradition, quality, and attention to detail is ever present in his work. And he has an unparalleled reputation for working within your budget to achieve a unique and personalized look. Dimitri also invites you to treat yourself to a bed you'll never want to leave with the Dimitri Christian Luxury Bed Linen Collection. Be sure to like us on Facebook to receive special sales and promotions. For more information, visit DimitriChristian.com. That's DemitriChristian.com.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Matters of Design. To reach Dimitri Skarakis or his guest today, send an email to info@DimitriChristian.com. Now back to Matters of Design.
Hi, welcome back to Matters of Design. I'm Dimitri Skarakis here with Christine Haney from Farum Ball, and we're talking about color and the amazing, amazing impact of coloring your environment. And with their most luxurious paints, not only do they, you know, have this palette that is extraordinary that we were just talking about in the last segment, and of course, these great little sample pots, which really go a long way if you're not 100% certain. But one step further, Christine, you also, and welcome back to the show, you've got these designers at your boutiques that come out, don't they?
Sure. They are our in-home color consultancy, color consultants, and it's an in-home service. All of our showrooms offer this, and they will come to the home. They're trained color experts, and they help create a color scheme with a real sense of flow throughout the home. To consider the light in the space, the shape of the room, any architectural details, existing things that are might have an influence on color, and really thinking about the final look that you're trying to achieve. And, you know, they'll work in tandem with an interior designer, which is often very helpful to the designer, and they also work with the end consumer in just coming up with a paint schedule. You know, you wind up with an actual paint schedule in hand, which is very useful. It's a really hard thing for people to choose colors. It's amazing.
I think this is incredible service because, first off, it's really unique. I mean, I haven't heard of anybody else doing this, but most of the time, people that even just want to go down this road and, you know, and paint colors in their house or what have you, I think they avoid it, or maybe they attempt it and they back away from it because it's really, I think, intimidating. It's something that as a designer,
that's
I
right.
just jump into and I love. But I think people are afraid.
It's a commitment. People feel like it's a big commitment, even though, you know, it's something that can easily be changed. But I think that color has such a deep impact on people that, that I think that's partly why the in-home color consultancy service is so successful, is that it really helps a client be guided through the process and not be intimidated, like you're saying. There's a lot of fear around it. So that's one of the things that we sell, this service, just like we sell a gallon of paint. It's just as useful.
People are just obsessed with color. I know I am. And then we hear creative people and they talk about, you know, color is, you know, I had a production designer, I'm very famous for Kalina Ivanov, and she's talking about when she starts creating a film, the entire picture, she sort of boils it down to a color. So people are so influenced by it and the tone that it gives an environment that these colors and how they come and they go and these ideas of commitments and change. I mean, years ago I had my home painted in sort of, you know, Tuscan sunny warm colors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 8 years later, it's in, you know, charcoals and grays and different tones. And, you know, I love to morph and change. And even though some of the furnishings, most of the furnishings stay the same, be them very modern pieces or transitional pieces, everything looks new and fresh and contemporary again with a different color backdrop.
Sure. Yeah, a new fresh coat of paint or a new color can really transform your environment. You know, part of what we like to do is, you know, make sure that people aren't afraid to change and to repaint. You know, we see people repaint their front doors, for instance, seasonally. And so we really like the idea, you know, sort of along the lines of fashion, that there are seasons and there are ways to do things with paint and with wallpaper that can slightly, you know, be just a slight tweak in a room, but have a big impact.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the trends in color, because I find this absolutely fascinating. Because if we think back to, and I think back when my home was in these other Tuscan colors, which I liked, which seemed very current, very appropriate at the time, I did not have my eye sort of, you know, registering anything even remotely close to what I'm living with now. And you wonder sort of, you know, how does this movement of color come into play where, you know, then you either you start to see it or people at sort of the top of these fields just sort of are very sensitive to maybe what's coming around. How does that work? And you guys, I want to hear about what's trending for you and how this sort of comes to the point that they become so popular.
So, you know, we do forecasting of what we see as part of the collective unconscious and culture coming around the bend. So we have a creative team, a creative head, Charlotte Cosby, and she is out there observing and collecting and creating art and color and, you know, looking at our patterns for our wallpaper designs, which we launch a couple of times a year. And our forecast for 2015 this is how we see Farrell and Ball sees the direction going, is very interesting. It's looking at color to reflect a desire to create space that offers escapism. We're all over the world, in Europe, in Asia, in the UK, in Southern California, we're all in a nomadic working lifestyle where our smartphones and devices keep us connected at all hours. And
so true.
We're looking at creating some key colors and moods that make spaces that live and breathe as we look at our homes as places of sanctuary away from the stress of our modern day living. So one of those colors is breakfast room green. And it's a very vibrant, leafy, botanical feel, and it's complementary with our other greens like Kalk Green or James White. And it has a tie to nature and the environment, but at the same time, it's exciting and fashionable and reflecting a shift away from a hard, graphic interior while keeping a modern twist. So this vibrant life in this breakfast room green. And then light blue, which is the name of one of our colors, is we're looking to create an environment that's almost transparent, that shows color, how it shifts and changes with the light, which is just true of all of our paints too. So that's sort of a lovely backdrop, like you were saying before, that the furniture is what's taking stage, or the artwork on the walls. Light blue creates that. And then pink ground. We're looking at nudes. This is sort of a nude, barely there color. It's warm and it has a pinkness to it, but it's not sugary or babyish. And it gives a camouflaged sense, and it's very flattering too. And lastly, although most of the palette for 2015 that we see is a lighter feeling, there are still, you know, a need and a call for dark colors. And we at Farrow and Ball always love using dark colors in spaces, for instance, where you want to create some drama, or maybe there's not a lot of light and it makes more of that. So we're looking at Tanner's Brown, which has an artisan feel to it. It's earthy at the same time. So it's complementary to those paler tones like the pink ground, light blue, and breakfast room green. And all hopefully creating a sense of escapism, as I said before, away from the constant barrage of information that we're all receiving and also putting out there.
For sure. And I love the combination of using in the same home or environment, having spaces that are very light and then other spaces in the same home or environment that are darker. And it's almost like a temperature change or a mood change. When you move from one area into another, you feel differently. You can sort of shift gears in the style. But you use these colors and these hues in the wall coverings as well. And I know that you've got some new intros. I'd like you to tell us about them because they are gorgeous.
That's right. Thank you. So we do, we make our wallpaper from our paint, which is really a special thing for us. And in September, just a few weeks ago, we launched our new latest and greatest collection that are all based on mid-20th century Japanese art, craft, and design. You know, we really saw the connection between British design and Japanese design. There are age-old ties there. And there's a subtlety in both cultures that reflect our brand, highly crafted design, and our unique Farrow and Ball production methods. So, and it seems to also be on trend right now. So it was just the perfect timing for it for us. The first of the four patterns is Yukutori, which means birds flying away in a group. And it's a very simple design, and it's taken from a mid-20th century pen and ink drawing that is Japanese. And it's softly outlining of birds floating across the sky, and it creates a delicate pattern that could either be like an all-over pattern, or it could look like waves or the wings of the birds. It's really lovely, and not seen anything like it, so it's really special. The second one is Arunami, which means raging waves. And this is actually taken from, you know, those tiny little paper-cut pieces of art. And then we blew it up into a larger pattern for a larger repeat to have more impact. And it means raging wave, and it has this sort of fun, explosive quality. And what's interesting about the wallpapers is depending on the colorways you use, they have a different effect too. This we do in St. Giles blue on a light background, and it's very poppy and powerful. And then in the neutrals, it's a lot softer and cloud-like almost.
Christina, I don't want to interrupt you here, but I want to let our listeners know to please go to farrowandball.com. That's FARROW-BALL.com and take a look at these patterns, see the colorways, and look into where you can visit either one of the consultants or one of these shops and get a feel for this extraordinary product with a great history. I'm sorry to say, Christine, but that's all the time we have today. I'd really like to thank you for being here.
Thank you. It was really a pleasure, and so appreciate your thinking of Farrow and Ball.
I'm your host, Dimitri Skourakis. We'll be back next Thursday at 2 p.m. Thank you so much. Have an inspired week.
Thank you for joining us this week for Matters of Design. Be sure to come back next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, for another edition featuring your host, Dimitri Christian Skourakis, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have an inspiring week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.